I don't know if God has a message for us here this morning or not, but the lights are getting dimmer and dimmer. The candles would not stay lit. RB, could you please go back and reset the lights and just see if they'll come up and try to get that light up a little bit? I mean, it's even hard to see my notes. I may have to preach without notes. Maybe that's a good thing. Darkness was over the face of the world, and light came into the world. Let there be light. A lot of it. Maybe it's a very good thing that we're going to be going to the crystal room. Ah, thank you, RB. Magic fingers. Now touch the candles. They never lit. I don't know what happened. I think Chris Justice just doesn't have the touch. I don't know. Blessed are the flexible. I am reading from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Wow. Talk about the unexpected. Can you imagine? She had gone to the well to draw water, which she had to do every day. And there she is met by Gabriel. The unexpected. This was just a routine thing that Mary was doing. And yet God interrupted the routine. He has a way of doing that. You have routines. I have routines. You know, going to work can be a routine. Cleaning the house can be a routine. And God has a way of stepping in there. When we say, tote that barge, lift that bale, God has a way of saying, wait a minute, I have something else that I want to say to you. I hope that's true today. Pow! The angel Gabriel appears to all of us. Do you think that could never happen to you? Do you think that could never happen to you? Do you think that life is just nothing but a bunch of routines? Are you married to just routines? The Christmas story begins with the unexpected interruption of routine. The angel said to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now that's important. The word highly favored is karitoho in the Greek. And the interesting thing is that word is not found anywhere else in the Bible except right there. It's a unique word. It's the only time that we see it. And the derivative of that word is the Greek word charis. Charis is the Greek word for grace. So we know that karitoho had something to do with grace. Now here's something else that is interesting. There is one other time in the New Testament that there is a derivative of that word, karitoho. And it is used in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is what it says there. His glorious grace. There's the word grace. His glorious grace, which he has freely given to us. Did you hear that? You've heard it before. Grasp it. Did you hear that? His grace that he has freely given to us. Not only can the unexpected happen to you, brothers and sisters, it has happened to you. It has. He has freely given his grace to you. Are you afraid to say amen? Amen. God's grace. It's as if God himself were to say to you, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. I am with you." The Christmas story begins with unexpected grace being poured out on Mary and growing into unexpected grace poured out on us. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Now, the story of Christmas did not really begin with Gabriel and Mary. It didn't even begin with the Old Testament prophets. The Christmas story began with you. You. God had you in his heart before any of these things took place. Before the beginning of time. Listen to Ephesians 1. I referred to Ephesians 1. Listen to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6, the whole thing. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every blessing in Christ." Did you hear that word? Every. Every blessing in Christ. Receive it. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace." There's that word. "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one that he loves." God knew he was going to interrupt Mary's routine. And God knew that he was going to interrupt your routine as well. We should expect the unexpected because God has a plan. After Gabriel greeted Mary, it says in Luke 1, verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I've always kind of chuckled when I've read that because I have always thought that the term "greatly troubled" was just a little bit too gentle. She was greatly troubled. Okay, good grief. I would have been scared out of my brain. I would have dropped the water jar and broken it. I would have run back to my cave and said, "I can't believe what just happened." She was greatly troubled. Well, you remember we said a few moments ago that there was a unique word, karitoho. Well, guess what? There are two unique Greek words in this passage. And the second one is diataraho. And it's translated "greatly troubled." But do you know what it literally means? It means alarmed, agitated, and wholly disturbed. I feel better now. Does it make you feel better? When God interrupts our routines, we can get greatly troubled too. The challenge is, how do we deal with it when God interrupts? Verse 30, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary.'" Now we've added another feeling. She was alarmed, she was agitated, she was disturbed, and now we know she was afraid. The Christmas story begins with a healthy dose of fear. When you first walk with Jesus Christ, those first steps can be scary. You can have a certain amount of healthy fear when you start walking with Jesus Christ. In fact, living for Jesus Christ should cause you to tremble a little bit. And if it doesn't, then maybe you should question whether or not you've actually met him fully and received him fully. Okay, Mary was alarmed, agitated, and disturbed and afraid. And the angel calmed her down a little bit, and then he told her what was going to happen to her. And we read this in Luke 1:34. Mary said, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Good question. Mary was incredulous, and for good reason. She questioned the credibility of both the message and the messenger. So the Christmas story begins with a certain amount of fear and some doubt. How could this be? Have you ever questioned the Christmas story? How could this be? When God tries to give you one of his miracles in his life, Do you turn to him and say, I don't get it. I don't believe this. How could this be? Do you question God? Are you incredulous? If so, a lesser God might just slam the door on the miracle and say to you, well, forget you. But just as he was with Mary, God is patient and he is gentle and he is generous. And he just keeps on giving. Verse 36, the angel answered Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. I wonder exactly how he said it. Did he say it like an orator? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Or did he say it like a friend? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will come upon you and will overshadow you. Christmas begins with the Holy Spirit coming upon us in power and overshadowing us. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit came into your life and overshadowed you. So act like it. Live like it. As much as Christ lived in Mary, Christ lives in you and me. Hallelujah. Now, before the angel left her, he said to Mary that she had a relative, Elizabeth, who was also going to have a miraculous birth, and the angel gave Mary those wonderful words of assurance, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The Christmas story begins with the unexpected interruption of routine, and it moved into the seemingly impossible becoming reality, becoming possible. And Mary's response to all of that is one of the most profound examples of humility and surrender in all of the Scripture. Luke 1:38, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. I am the Lord's servant. The word servant is used over and over in the Bible to describe a worshiper. To worship God primarily means to serve God in a variety of ways. It's only a part of what worship is, but it's probably the biggest part of what worship is, serving God. The Christmas story begins with surrender and worship. And there is no greater calling on our lives than that. Surrendering to God and worshiping God. Now listen, don't just sit there and let me say that to you again and move on. Don't just sit there and hear it again and think, yeah, I've heard that before. Tell me something new. We all need to hear that over and over until we get it and we do it. And then, okay, we'll move to something new. Worship of God should be our top priority. Loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and our neighbors, ourselves. That's the greatest commandment, Jesus said. Christmas began with serving God. Embrace that. Live that. If I die this week and you come to my funeral and you're giving a eulogy, say, one of the things that Harry was always telling us is worship is the top priority. And just think where he is right now, having the best worship service he's ever had. I can hardly wait. In fact, there are times I actually long for it, don't you? Back to the narrative. At this point in the story, God could have told us some juicy details. He could have told us about how Joseph received this news, how the family received this news, how the gossipers in Nazareth took care of all this news, of this unexpected story that Mary was telling them, but God didn't do that. Instead, the next thing that God told us is this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Why did she do that? Why would a teenage girl walk 100 miles, or maybe ride a donkey 100 miles, pregnant, and expose herself to the danger of the hills and the valleys and the robbers on those roads down to Ein Karim just to visit Elizabeth? Why would she do that? Speculation abounds as to why she did that, because God does not tell us. And here's what some of the speculators say about it. Is speculators a word? It is? It is now. Okay. Maybe things were just a little bit too hot for her back in Nazareth because of her situation, and she had to get out of town. Some people believe that, perhaps. Maybe her family and her friends condemned her. Perhaps. Maybe she was looking for comfort from someone who could understand what she was going through. Yeah, an angel came to me too. Perhaps. Or maybe she felt an urge to care for Elizabeth, because Elizabeth was not just her relative, she was old. And old people need help. And she was pregnant, and pregnant women need help. And old pregnant women need a lot more help. So maybe she just had this feeling, I've got to go help this old poor lady out. All of the above could be true. We don't know. Regardless, her visit with Elizabeth was no accident. It was in God's plan. It always is. It always is. Nothing with God is impossible, and nothing with God is an accident. Amen. Luke 1:41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the unexpected in Zechariah and Elizabeth. That baby that leaped inside her womb was John the Baptist, and his role in life was to point people to the Messiah. And he started his role in the womb. Even before he was born, he started doing what he was born to do. That reminds me of Psalm 139, verse 16. God, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days that were ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That is absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Part of the Christmas story begins in a womb. And part of your story began in a womb. Nothing with God is by accident, including this very day that you're living and this very moment and that seat you're sitting in. Nothing is by accident. He planned it all. Why were you born? Why were you born? What task did God have for you? What task does God have for you in his divine plan, even before you were born? What gifts did God give to you to fulfill the task that he has for you in this life, this side of heaven? Have you surrendered? Have you dealt with those questions? Have you given it to God? Have you received your answer? Have you surrendered? Do you think it's all in the past? It ain't over till the fat lady sings. Mary was both welcomed and comforted by Elizabeth, and Mary was reassured by her that the unexpected that is happening in her life that had interrupted her routines was really of God, and it was one of history's greatest events, truly from God. And then immediately, what did Mary do? She worshiped God. She worshiped God. Let that be our example as well. Luke 1, verse 46 through 45. Mary uttered some of the most beautiful words of worship that are recorded in the Bible. And they begin, "My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Holy is his name. Mary was privileged, and she could feel it. She knew it. She knew she was privileged. All generations will call me blessed. She could have said to Elizabeth, "Okay, Elizabeth, you can bow down and worship me now. I'm the most highly favored of all." She could have. She didn't. She humbled herself. She worshiped God. And she stayed with Elizabeth, and she served Elizabeth as well. Mary was more concerned about helping fulfill what needed to be fulfilled in Mary's life than she was in her own life at that time. Christmas began with humility. It began with serving God and serving someone else. Look at us at Christmas right now. We're really busy serving other people. That's a good thing. Sometimes it gets in the way, but it's a good thing. Are we really busy serving God first and worshiping God first? Christmas began with all that, and it culminated with the greatest humility that we can read about in the Scriptures. Philippians 2:8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." There are so many lessons that we could take from the life of Mary in this wonderful Christmas story. She is a central character. And even beyond the Christmas story, there's so much about Mary that we could talk about. But I want to talk about just one more verse. And it's my favorite verse of all the verses related to Mary. It's found in the story of the shepherds. Today is the shepherd's candle. Today is the Shepherd Sunday of Advent. The shepherds visit to the manger. It's Luke 2, verse 16. "So the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Now here comes my favorite verse in this part of the story. It's verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She had learned to expect the unexpected. She didn't try to analyze everything with her mind and try to understand it. She received it. She understood that she could not explain, and she had to live by faith. There are too many of us who try to approach God only with our minds and try to understand and explain and have theology coming out of our pores or whatever. God just must laugh at us when he sees us acting like that, and he says, "You're just pathetic. You're just pathetic. Believe, believe, have faith. Nothing with me is impossible." Mary moved beyond her mind to her heart. The story of Christmas is a wonderful story that moves into the heart of man. And that is a deeper place than your mind. It could encourage us to expect the unexpected, brothers and sisters. I want to close with some practical applications. First one. Look at our country. Is there anything dysfunctional about our government that bothers you? Is there anything dysfunctional about our society that bothers you? Do you think it's impossible? Then you haven't heard the Christmas story. Look at your own family. Is there any brokenness in your family? Is there anyone in your family who has never given their life to Jesus Christ? Are there any relationships that are totally beyond your control? Do you think it's impossible? Then you haven't heard the Christmas story. Look at your finances. Are there any mountains there that are bigger than your resources? Do you think it's impossible? Then you haven't heard the Christmas story. Look at your health. Are any of you struggling with your bodies? Are any of you struggling with your health? Are you sick? Are you tired? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you in pain? Is your body dying? Do you think it's impossible? Then you haven't heard the Christmas story. Look at yourself. Do you think you're impossible? Then you definitely haven't heard the Christmas story. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for reminding us that nothing is impossible with you, that all of the routines of life are just that, but you have a plan, and you are in control. And you, Lord, can take anything and make it new again. So, Lord, as we look again into the manger and we see the miracle of this child, Jesus, may we see in you, Lord, the possible, the miraculous, the Christmas story all over again. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand and sing, please?